What's up, everybody? What's up? What is up? We got another edition of Icy Takes coming right at you right now. Big Dave right here. Jeff on the other side. No Zach this time, unfortunately. So looks like it's just going to be me and you, Jeff. How about it?
Yeah, how about it? It's been a little bit, been another week, but it's been a good week, though. I've been crushing it at the sports book. As we're watching right now, we have Monday Night Football on between the Ravens and the Chiefs. I have the over, got $60 on that one. So, you know, you might hear some irrational yelling as this podcast gets through. But other than that, Dave, I'm good. Kind of a nervous wreck right now. But, you know, playoff baseball's finally here, and it's going to be a wild, wild playoff for us to get through.
No doubt. I mean, who'd have thought, and especially in our lifetime, that we would ever see 16 teams in the playoffs in Major League Baseball? And frankly, I don't like it because of how many teams are in here, but it's going to be fun just to see the madness of what happens, because there is going to be, and we'll get to the picks in just a moment, but I think there's going to be at least two top three teams that get eliminated.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, and like you said, we'll get into it, but I kind of agree with you, because it kind of takes away the importance of winning your division. But I think for the year that we've been through, why not have a little bit more craziness to add into the baseball playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I like what they do with that wild card game. At first, I wasn't a fan of it, but then I start to see the hystericalness of how the game is played and what you do to lead up to that game. So I think with this, it just creates too much of a mushy mess in there to maybe where teams shouldn't be in there. Surprisingly, like the Astros, who are one of the only teams, if not the only team, with a losing record going into the playoffs. That's why I'm not a huge fan of this 16 team format, 8 from each league, but desperate times calls for desperate measures, right?
Right, yeah, and I mean, it's crazy. I think everybody and their mother is rooting for the Minnesota Twins in that series, but yeah, it's kind of crazy. I think the National League's gonna be a dogfight, though. I think that's the one side of things. I feel like the AL is gonna shape out the way it's supposed to. But I mean, the National League, I mean, it's gonna be a slug fight to get out of that side of the bracket.
Oh yeah. Well, instead of teasing everybody, why don't we just jump straight into it?
Yep, sounds good to me.
All right, so we're going based off of the bracket challenge on MLB.com, and we're going straight into the number one versus number eight series in the American League, and that is the Tampa Bay Rays taking on the Toronto Blue Jays. And Jeff, looking around the board, this is the only playoff game, or playoff series, I should say, in which the two teams have already played each other this year. Every other team is getting their first shot at the other team. So we get some familiarity with these two teams between the Rays and Blue Jays. Who you got?
I'm going to take the Rays here. I think especially in the in this three-game wild card playoff, it's just the pitching for the Rays is just so deep. Their bullpen's so good. You saw how they were able to just kind of take over and run away with the AL East, especially once the Yankees started getting hurt a little bit and kind of set back the Bronx Bombers a little bit. So I got the Rays. I think it goes two. I don't see it going three. The only way I see it going three is if Ryu is able to pitch incredibly well in game one. I'm assuming he's the game one starter.
Well, I mean, I can try to look that up for you right now, but I can see this going into three games with the moves that the Toronto Blue Jays made to kind of beef up the starting pitching with Ryu, Robbie Ray, and I mean, I'd even include Ross Stripling in there compared to what they had. It's an improvement on what they were working with before. And this team was pretty consistent all year round. But I can still see them coming up short in game three. That's how I see it playing out. I think Toronto can surprise in game two. I think they get shut down by what I assume would be Tyler Glass now in the first game. I think Toronto puts up a fight, but then Tampa Bay takes over.
Yeah, it kind of makes you think of the old adage that good pitching is always going to be good hitting. And I know the Blue Jays have those young kids and the bats that they bring to the lineup and everything, but I've seen what the Rays can do to good lineups. And when I mean good lineups, I mean like a team like the Atlanta Braves. I know it was early in the year when the Braves were kind of struggling to find their way, but they were mowing down guys. I mean, they were making guys like Freddie Freeman look really bad in the box. So, I'm going to go with the Rays here. I think they won it in two, though. Unless Ryu pitches out of his mind in game one, I just don't see him. I don't see the Jays being able to recover after game one.
Well, let's make sure we get the pitching matchups correct, because we got Matt Shoemaker against Blake Snell expected for game one.
Okay.
Game two is looking to be Ryu and Glasnow, and game three is Taijuan Walker versus Charlie Morton.
Okay. All right. Well, then, yeah, it's definitely going to be Rays in two, then.
That's fair. I'm going to stick to my guns in Blue Jays with three, but we'll see how it goes over. So I'm going to put the Rays over there. And next, we got the Cleveland Indians against the New York Yankees. The Indians, pretty hot team. Not the hottest team going into the playoffs. The Yankees, one of the best teams to start. Everyone got hurt. They fall apart. They had a horrible end of August, beginning of September, and kind of limped into the playoffs, but they seem pretty healthy. What are you feeling?
I'm going to take the Yankees on this one. I just think that their pitching's a little bit deeper now that they're finally healthy again. They kind of went on a run towards the end of the regular season, trying to secure their spot in the playoffs. You have Gerrit Cole, one of the top pitchers, and Shane Bieber for the Indians going. So, I mean, game one is going to be a treat to watch on who can get the other pitcher to blink first. So, I'm going to take the Yankees. I think this goes three, because it wouldn't shock me if the Indians win game one, and Shane Bieber just throws an absolute masterpiece. But I think just the nostalgia the Yankees have, and how deep that lineup is, I got the Yankees, and I got them in three.
Honestly, I think I have the Cleveland Indians in two, because Shane Bieber, your boy, who's the Cy Young winner this year, and
Triple Crown.
That's not announced yet. Was it? Did he get the Triple Crown?
He got the Triple Crown. I saw that from Fox MLB.
All right. Well, that makes it that much easier to say that he is the Cy Young Award winner. I think he outduels Gerrit Cole, and it's going to be like that 3-2 battle. It's going to be very close, but the Indians get on the board first, and they don't look back. And I think they get it done with Cookie in the second game. I think Tanaka can be so-so. He can be on it for you, or he can just put up the juiciest meatballs at the plate, and it's just going to go for a ride. I like how the Indians are playing. I think overall their pitching's better than the Yankees. Give me the Indians in two.
Okay. Yeah, I got Yankees in three. I think I think that lineup, they're on kind of a revenge tour after the way last year ended. How this year started, they were kind of running away with everything, and then to kind of give away the division after being hurt as much as they are. I just like the Yankees so much. I think they're out to kind of get revenge of after everything that happened through last year in the playoffs and what didn't. So, yeah, I got Yankees in three.
All right. Sounds good. Let's move on, shall we? We got the Minnesota Twins against the Houston Astros. Jeff, we can both agree that we were kind of fading the Twins for whatever reason it was at the beginning of the year. They get on a little bit of a run at the end, win the division, and now they take on a team with the worst record that's been able to qualify in everyone's new favorite team to hate, the Houston Astros. Who you got?
I got the Twins. The common theme that seems to be going around baseball right now is that a lot of people like the Twins because they don't have to play the Yankees in the first round of the playoffs. So I'm going to hop on that bandwagon 100%. A lot of eyes are obviously got to be on the Astros right now because of the whole cheating thing and all that stuff. So I got the Twins just like the rest of America. And since I really don't have a dog to hate in the American League right now, I go two because I don't like the Houston Astros.
No Justin Verlander, no Roberto Osuna, no Yordan Alvarez, I believe, and no Josh James. Most of those guys being pitchers, they have enough firepower to get it done, but I can see the Twins pretty much shutting it down. As I pull up the probables for the Twins, I just think overall, this is a team that we should have respected more with the Minnesota Twins. I mean, game one, we do have Zach Greinke versus Kenta Maeda. Game two, no decision made on the Houston Astros pitcher yet. That'll be taking on Jose Berrios. And then if needed, game three for the Astros with Michael Pineda taking the mound in game three. I can see them getting it done in two games. The Twins have, you know, they flex at the plate some games, and your boy Josh Donaldson has been doing pretty well recently. So
yeah,
I like the Twins in two as well.
Yeah, JD's been kind of swinging a pretty hot bat. Good for him, though. I mean, Freddie Freeman definitely helped revitalize his career by hitting behind Freddie. But the fact that it shows a lot of what Josh Donaldson is that he can go do it without having to have like a great lineup around him, that he can be the focal point of that lineup. So, good for JD. I wish he was still in an Atlanta Braves uniform, but Ozuna's been pretty all right for the Braves this year as well.
Pretty all right. Didn't he just win the home run crown?
And RBI season? Crown, I believe so as well.
Okay. But just couldn't get that triple crown. Wasn't just that just great.
Because yeah, there was a guy named Freddie Freeman that was hitting above him.
He was hitting it left and right, literally.
One more question on the Twins. Does it concern you how much that they revolve around the long ball?
I mean, yes, but I think in this 3-game series against the Astros, it won't affect them. It might affect them next round, though.
Okay. Because I get that way. Because it always concerns me when a team just relies so much on the home run ball, because if you're not hitting that and that's the only way you're able to produce runs, I mean, if it goes dry, it goes dry, and it goes dry quick. So
Yankees were one home run short of them last year overall in the season.
Yeah. So, okay. Ready to move on.
All right. Sounds good. Last matchup of the wild card series. And, you know, I may have not said it earlier, but based off our guesses, it is a best-of-three format, and all the games are played at home. There's no reversing fields here. So, no, Tampa Bay, Cleveland, and Minnesota, they're all hosting their matchups. And the final one that is being hosted will be hosted by the Oakland A's taking on the Chicago White Sox. Jeff, my White Sox fell apart going into this part of the season, losing 8 of 10. But for some reason, I feel optimistic about them going into Oakland and maybe defeating them. I mean, not that Matt Chapman is the entire team, but I know he is kind of a big part of that organization. So what are you feeling?
Yeah, I like the White Sox here too. I agree with you a lot. Like you said, they kind of struggled down the stretch. But the one thing, though, that I've kind of learned, and I saw this a lot with the Braves the last couple of years, they've had guys that have been hurt that have played every day in their lineup that weren't healthy enough to play in the playoffs. And if you're missing somebody in that in your lineup, that can really, really affect you. And especially when it's a focal point in your lineup, like Matt Chapman is, to not have that. And you have another team that's completely healthy and is able to have their normal everyday lineup, like normal, like it's a regular day in July. I always take the team that has that familiarity and you know what you're going to get out of those guys, or at least you can know what to expect out of those guys. So I like the White Sox. I like their health. I like some of the youth that they have, their bats, their pitching, adding Dallas Keuchel in the offseason. So they have some youth, some veterans. I like the White Sox here. I think this is going to be a gutty series, though, where it's going to be like a 3-game series.
The way I see the White Sox winning this series is by winning the first two. They have Lucas Giolito taking on Jesus Luzardo in the first game. Second game, you have Dallas Keuchel taking on Chris Bassett. I think with Giolito and Keuchel, you need to get off quickly. Game three is TBD for both teams, but I think that's the way the White Sox get it done is winning the first two games. So give me the White Sox in two.
Cool. All right.
Now. Do we want to stay with the American League and get to the World Series or the AL winner, or do we want to hop over to the NL now?
Let's just do AL. Yeah, let's just do one, and we'll get to the World Series and then go to the other league.
All right, sounds good. So let's move on with our winners in the first round. I think we only disagreed on one of them, so let's go. I have the Tampa Bay Rays versus the Cleveland Indians.
And I have the Tampa Bay Rays and the New York Yankees.
In my matchup, this is the pitching matchup that everybody wants between both teams. No, like this is what playoff baseball is all about with the two teams and how their starting pitchers are, I guess, set up for this matchup. I can see the Indians winning this game for some reason. This is a team that's feeling themselves right now. I mean, Frankie Lindor, Carlos Santana. I mean, just give me the guys that are hitting the ball well for the Indians and get Shane Bieber and those dudes rocking it on the mound. I think they can upset the Rays and make it to the ALCS.
Just to be clear for the listeners, too, we go back to the standard 5-game series for the DS, correct?
Yes. Okay. So, and these will be played in the bubble cities. So these two teams will either be playing in San Diego or Los Angeles, if that means anything.
Okay. So for the Yankees and the Rays, for what I have, I like the Yankees. Like I said, there's just something about the Yankees. I know you're not playing in Yankee Stadium in October and it's a little bit different, but you got Garrett Cole, you have Tanaka. I just think that the Yankees can out hit the Rays, and I feel like for this series it's gonna end up being like a lot of zeros, 1-6, and it's going to come down to bullpens. And I'll take the Yankee bullpen over the Rays bullpen any day of the week. So I got the Yankees moving on to the CS like they always are.
And for some reason, they keep coming up short. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. It really is. And I don't know if you're trying to make a joke out of that or if you're really serious, but it's weird because they're always right there. And I mean, granted, the Houston Astros thing happened last year where they may or may not have been cheating on it. But, I mean, they've gone down swinging with Aroldis Chapman last year, and they've zoomed in on him after Altuve hit that home run. He couldn't believe that he hit it. Turns out he was cheating. But, I mean, until they prove that, you know, they can't compete in the AL side of things, I'm going to take the Yankees all the time, and eventually they're going to win it, right?
I mean, you would think so. But, I mean, I can't – I'm not going to answer that for you. I have the Yankees losing in the first round, so why am I going to say they're going to win eventually?
Yeah, good point.
Next round, I think we both have the Minnesota Twins versus the Chicago White Sox. This would be fun just because of how many times they've played throughout the year. As I pull up the records between the two teams this year, like, what are you feeling about this matchup? What do you like? And then who do you got?
Man, this one's tough. I'm going to take the White Sox here. I'm going to mess around and take the White Sox here. Just because I like their pitching a little bit better. You have Giolito, you got Keuchel. Who's their game two starter? Was it Keuchel that you said, or was it not announced?
It was Giolito first game, Keuchel second game.
Okay. I don't know. I can just see the Sox being, because you have like the way the format is, I could just see it being like one of those teams that just gets hot, you know? And they got the bats that if they do get hot, they'll ride it, and you have the starting pitching that can shut down. And like we talked about with the Twins, how home run heavy they are. I like the pitching a lot better on the White Sox side of things.
Yeah, I mean, I want to only say that the reason that the Twins would move on is usually when they score runs against the White Sox, they're scoring them in bunches. Just looking at some of the games they played recently against each other, there was an 8-1 victory on September 2nd, a 6-2, a 5-1 win on September 16th. But then in the games that they're losing, they're putting up one run. So it could go back to being dependent on the home run ball, like you're saying. I'm kind of leaning towards the White Sox, so I think I'll go with it. I don't know if it's more of like a bias because of how much I've appreciated what they've put together for this year and want to see them advance. I don't know if I'm just picking it out of bias, because we also don't really respect the Twins on this podcast, I'm pretty sure. So give me the White Sox, I think, in five games.
Yeah, I think that one's, again, a knock 'em out, slug 'em out. Yeah, whose pitching staff can survive five games? So, I just like the depth of the White Sox rotation. So I'm gonna take White Sox again. I'll take them in five as well.
All right. So our ALCS is only halfway the same. I have the Cleveland Indians and Chicago White Sox,
and I have the Yankees and the White Sox.
And I would say yours should be, I wouldn't say easy, but I think I know where you're leaning on yours.
Yeah, I think the road for the Cinderella story ends for the White Sox. I think the Yankees, their lineup's just too good. Their pitching staff's too good. Their bullpen's too good. Everything's just too so much better than what the White Sox have. I got the Yankees winning. I'll say in five, because again we're going back to the normal seven games for the CS. I'll say five. I'll give the White Sox one game, I guess. Whether it's Giolito or Keuchel that are able to pull a game off, I'd probably say Giolito out of the two would get a win out of it. But I got Yankees in five.
With the White Sox making it this far, I just think it would be too much of the youth of the White Sox to expect them to move on past the Indians. I think with what the Indians have done before in the past and continuously at least appearing in the playoffs or being that damn close, I think the Indians would have the advantage on the Chicago White Sox if they were to get this far. I mean, what am I saying? What if? When it gets this far. Give me the Indians. I think overall the pitching trumps them. And I think that the bats will ultimately get the best of them. I think it'll be in six games. I think the White Sox can squeak out a couple, but overall the Indians should be able to power it down against the White Sox.
Okay, so I got the Yankees in the World Series, and you have the Indians on the AL side.
Correct, because a lot of crazy stuff happens in this wacky year, Jeff.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I got the Yankees at 33-27. A lot of people thought they were going to win 50 games this year.
So, all right, that's our American League side. But I mean, I can't wait to see what other people are predicting on some of these. It's just going to be brutal. I mean, I've been seeing some people pick the Blue Jays over the Rays in the first round. As much as I would like to see that happen, just because of who the Blue Jays have on their team, I think, you know, I don't think it's going to be capable enough for them to get past that pitching staff.
Yeah, I mean, that pitching staff's so good. And I mean, The crazy thing, I mean, that wild card round is just gonna be crazy because it's gonna be whoever's starting pitching shows up. Because if you got to get into your bullpen in game one, I mean, that's gonna be tough on your bullpen because you only get one day rest, right? And then you're right back out there.
Pretty much.
So I mean these, if you're taxing your bullpen in game one, I mean, it's not ideal, but. You better have a damn good bullpen and a bunch of guys you can trust.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure these games were played 3 days in a row if needed. So the American League will start all of their games on the same day. The next day, the National League will join the American League and play all eight games, Jeff, of playoff baseball. Who'd have thunk, right?
Right.
Right. And then, if necessary, whoever plays game three will play the next day for the American League. All the National League will play their game twos, and then the following day will be the National League wrapping up their game threes.
Yeah, I've seen like games are starting at like noon and going to as late of a start time as like 11 o'clock at night.
Hey man, it's just like the hockey playoffs when they came back.
Yeah, I mean that's crazy to have baseball all day every day. So.
All right, so that was our American League. Let's move on over to the Senior Circuit, shall we?
Let's do it.
The first matchup, the ever most powerful Los Angeles Dodgers taking on the Milwaukee Brewers. I did lie about the losing record. Milwaukee also comes in with a losing record into the playoffs, so my apologies. However, Jeff, can we say it on three?
One.
Two. Three.
The Dodgers.
Yep.
What would you have done if I would have said the Brewers there?
I would have turned it off.
No podcast for today, just because Jeff's an idiot.
Yep, it's done. It's not happening.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that makes me, like, kind of just keeps me in the back of my mind is Clayton Kershaw's record in the playoffs. Like, I could see this going three and Dodger fans having to sweat this out.
I thought about that, but Clayton Kershaw seemed to have been shutting out some of those demons, especially last year. It wasn't his fault that they lost in game five last year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, with all the stuff with the Astros and everything, I mean,
well, I'm just talking about with Howie Kendrick last year against Washington. I mean, Clayton Kershaw has been able to kind of kick those demons aside a little bit in the playoffs. But Walker Buehler gets game one. Kershaw gets game two. No one decided yet for the Brewers. So that's interesting. Because Corbin Burns is out, their ace pitcher, who is pretty much one of the most dominant pitchers in the NL. But, it's two games for me. I don't see it any other way.
Well, I wouldn't be shocked, too, if Craig Counsell just turns this into bullpen games, right?
Yeah. I mean,
just everybody's available the whole three-game series, and then we'll figure out the... We'll figure out everything else down the road.
Yeah, I mean, Craig Counsell's the reason that we have like a minimum three batter for a pitcher rule because of, what was that, Wade Miley in game one or game five of that series?
Yeah.
I got the Dodgers winning in two. I guess you have three.
Yeah, I'll take three just because I kind of want to see LA sweat this one out a little bit. Quick question before we go into game one for that Dodger series. Do you think Walker Buehler still has been able to find that home run Acuna hit off him at SunTrust Park in the playoffs a couple years ago?
See, I heard that he's been cracking down on that case.
Has he been searching for fingerprints and whatnot on where it's at?
Yeah, but I think the more concerning one, who was the unfortunate pitcher for the Red Sox on Friday.
Oh, I don't know. Some scrub that was able to win me $30 because they couldn't win over 31 and a half games this year. But that ball went, what was it, 499?
495, the longest home run hit in this shortened season.
Jesus, like, holy cow. Like, could you I couldn't imagine how you would feel after, like, giving that up.
You'd feel horrible. That's my guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Like, I didn't see like the full like highlight where they show the pitcher or anything. Like after he hits it, but, like, did he even turn around to look, or did he just like say, "Just give me a new ball"?
Honestly, I forget if he turned around and looked, but I heard the crack of that bat, and that thing was magnificent.
I remember, not to get into like a Braves rabbit hole here or anything, but I remember listening to a broadcast probably about 3 years ago. So that would have been 2017. So like the year they popped off, and it was Rain Delay Radio on Sirius, listening to the Braves broadcast. And they had Tripper Jones on. He was talking about how when Acuna hits the ball, it just has that different sound off the bat. And that couldn't be more right. Because, like, when that ball comes off his bat, it pops. And, like, you're like every hit sounds like it's going to go 500 feet. And it might go opposite field as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I got it right now. And, oh, yeah, that pitcher turned. Oh, he watched it.
he wanted to see if what just happened was real.
He just wanted to see how far it would go. All right. Yeah, we're getting down a road that we shouldn't be going down.
Right. We still got a while before we talk about the team that's going to win the World Series.
Right. So I wonder who that's going to be for you. All right. Moving on. Let's go to the next matchup. We got the San Diego Padres hosting the St. Louis Cardinals. Jeff, this is everyone's new favorite team this year, Slam Diego, with – no, Fernando Tatis. I mean, I think people are even coming around to starting to like Manny Machado just because of where he's at now. And, you know, and not with LA. And you know, Eric Hosmer. Only downside is no Dennelson Lamet, no Mike Clevinger. But the St. Louis Cardinals have been playing a ton of games. They didn't even finish all 60 of their games. They only got 58 played. And now they're sitting at the number 5 seed. So who in this?
I like Slam Diego a lot, and I hope they put up 10, 15, 20 runs on the Cardinals after what they did to the Braves last year. I'm just so glad the Braves don't play the Cardinals, and I hope that they just I hope that they do everything against the unwritten rules of baseball against the St. Louis Cardinals, because if there's a team that is all about the unwritten rules of baseball, it's the Cardinals. So I got the Padres, and I got them. I'm gonna say in two. I think this becomes a sweep, and then we get the matchup everybody wants to see, is Slam Diego against the LA Dodgers.
Only thing that's gonna be difficult, like I said, is not having Lament or Clevinger in this series to get it done in those first two games. And if it were to get to game three, you don't want to do that, because then you're facing off against Jack Flaherty. Maybe not the best season, where last year he was one of the top dogs, but that's still a name against the St. Louis Cardinals that you don't want to go up against. I can see them winning game two against Adam Wainwright. I just think game one is where it's going to be the most important for the Slam Diego Padres. And leaning more biased here, so give me the Padres in this, in two. So, we each got that matchup, Dodgers and Padres. That's fun. Here's where it gets fun, Jeff. The Chicago Cubs take on the Miami Marlins. Jeff, you know the last time the Marlins were in the playoffs?
03, yes.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. And do you know who they beat that year?
The Evil Empire.
Yeah, who'd they beat before that series?
The Chicago Cubs.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Is there a chance that history could repeat itself?
What else happened in that World Series? Or on that World Series run for them? Pretty significant play.
In game six, there was a gentleman, a hero by the name of Steve Bartman, that was attending the game. So that's all I'll say.
So, I mean, I'll be, I know we've talked on this podcast, me and Zach have talked about it too, when we've done kind of the split thing here, with how well the NHL has done with their presentation and everything. If there is not a Steve Bartman cutout down the left field line, whatever stadium they're playing at, I'll be incredibly disappointed with MLB, because, you know, just read the room. Everybody would think that's hilarious. If you're going to do cutouts, that's what you got to do. So there better be a Bartman cutout right on the left field line, or the MLB just flat miss?
I'm just trying to think of how Cubs fans will take that, because
screw them.
Hey, no. I'm not saying you're wrong. Believe me. But I'm just wondering how they'll take it, because yes, you already got the World Series ring. The curse is over. Whatever. I think that would be something, if you're a Cubs fan, that you would be furious about, but the rest of the league would love. So yes, I agree with you on that. All right, now that we talked about all the fun stuff about the series and the history, now can we get a pick-in? Because, Jeff, is there any reason not to take the Marlins? Yes, because I think the Cubs have just been so inconsistent all year, and this surprise team's going to come up there and just shock the world in the first round. I think after that, the story's over. For what they've been able to do to take control of games early and then even steal some games late, like Starling Marte's first game when he got traded over and hit that solo bomb to win the first game as a Marlin 3-2. I just think the Cubs have been looking so blah ever since starting the year 13-3 that they can get upset by the Marlins here in probably two games. It's just going to be up to them to Kyle Hendricks and John Lester. No probables yet listed on MLB.com, but I see no reason to pick the Marlins here. I think they got nothing to lose. They're playing with house money. They're just going to show up and just play with swagger.
The reason I will not be taking the Marlins here, giving up 29 runs, 12 runs, 11 runs twice in 1 week. Yeah, they give up a ton of runs, and for as offensive as the Cubs can be, don't forget the postseason is also a complete reset on your season. So I'm going to buy into that with the Cubs. I got the Cubs going at 3. I think they're going to have to sweat it out. I think the Marlins will give them a run for their money, but I'm going to take the experienced Cubs on this one, and they win in 3.
All right. No, I respect your choice. I'm just disappointed is all.
I mean, the Marlins, like I said, they're some people call them a surprise. I knew they would be better this year. They weren't going to be the cupcake that they were last year or years before, but I'm not ready to buy into them fully quite yet.
Oh, I just think it's a first-round win for them, and that's it. But tomato, tomato.
Right.
So let's move on to the final one. Jeff, this has been the one that you've been waiting for and just salivating over. We have the Atlanta Braves taking on the Cincinnati Reds. Jeff, who do you have?
I got the Braves, but I'm so nervous for this. Our starting pitching makes me so nervous. We talked about it on the AL side of things. It's going to come down to what beats what. Does pitching beat good hitting every time, or is this the one time that great hitting beats good pitching? Because, I mean, you're getting 3 legit starters. You're getting Trevor Bauer in game 1. You're getting Castillo game 2. And then you get Sonny Gray for game 3. The Reds are set. We have not set our rotation yet past Max Fried. So, I'm curious how Brian Snicker is going to handle this. Is he just going to say, hey, you know, we're just going to go by the bullpen after game 1 or what he's going to do. But I'm very nervous on this, because I've seen this lineup. It's a very good lineup. The Braves have, you know, we didn't even get into this, that MLB.com put out like the best lineups in baseball this year, and the Braves weren't on it. The team that leads the league in team OPS, not on that on that list. And it just worries me that we don't have pitching. That is our weakness. We have the worst starter ERA for a team in the last how many or for this year. So I'm nervous. But I think we squeak it out in 3. I'm going to have to sweat it out. I got Braves in 3.
I mean, it was kind of wild that the Reds swept the Twins to end the season. So it was very surprising to me that they were able to do that and come in as technically the first wild card in all of this. And just because I've been fooled by this before, I'm going to have to lean towards the better pitching matchup. Yes, the Braves, I mean, I'll agree with you that the Braves are probably a top two, top three team overall hitting-wise. But when you have the more dominant pitching out there, that usually trumps the better hitting, usually. But I think in this one, I think the Reds can find a way to overcome and take down this team because maybe of the lack of pitching on the other side. Joey Votto in the playoffs, I mean, he hasn't been in the playoffs since, what, 2013? And with that being the wild card year, you look at the years before in like 2012, and I believe in 2010, they were in it as well. This is a team that can put up runs in a hurry. This is also a team, they didn't sweep the Twins, by the way, they did lose one. This is also a team that can shut it down with their pitching. So both need to come together, and I think they can do it for two games against the Atlanta Braves. I think they get it done in three. Just because I don't know who's going to be able to take the reins for the Braves in game three.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to either Ian Anderson or it's Kyle Wright. I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. Those are the projected guys to go after Max Fried. I mean, the leash for the starters is going to be so incredibly small. I just don't know if our pitching can hang on, and if that ends up being the reason we get held back, we'll see. But it's definitely an issue. I mean, everybody was saying, you know, Cole Hamels is going to be the savior once it comes to playoff time for the Braves in the starting rotation, and he ended up getting hurt. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, like I said, this is a great lineup that the Braves have. Probably one of the best ones that the Atlanta franchise has seen in a long, long time. It just concerns me that, you know, we've seen it time and time again that good pitching seems to always be good hitting. So I guess this is going to be the ultimate test right here. So,
all right. So let's go back on to the top of the bracket side where we each have the Dodgers taking on the Slam Diego Padres. This is the matchup, I think, of the and either side, AL or NL, I believe, between these two teams and what they've been able to do, what the Dodgers have been, and what the Padres are becoming. But I think ultimately the Dodgers still have the upper hand when it comes to playing in a best-of-five series in the playoffs. We'll see where Clevinger and LeMahieu are at that point. I think they have a chance to return if they get through the wild card series. So I'm still going to put it down for the Dodgers in probably four games.
Yeah, I got the Padres in.
Do you?
I got the Padres in four. I got them in four.
Go on.
I just think there were just so much in the Dodgers' head because they had that whole thing earlier in the year where guys were chirping their dugout and, you know, guys are getting upset because guys are running the bases on home runs and everything. I think San Diego is just so far in LA's head. I got them in four. I think LA gets a win to stave off elimination in game three, and then they lose in game four.
I'm trying to just think in my head how often that I'm just using the finger quotes here, showboating. Crossing that line between is it fun or is it just showboating? I think that kind of just goes to the wayside in the playoffs. And one of the main fixtures in my head when I think of that was Jose Bautista's bat flip, which was more of a bat throw when he hit that home run. And what was it, game five against the Rangers? So I think even with the Padres, if they were to do stuff like that, it's not going to affect the Dodgers. This is kind of what happens in the playoffs. The emotions will rise up, but then you have to find a way to check your own emotions and not be in a barking contest between each other, between what's right and what's wrong. You got to go out there and do your damn job. That's why I don't think the Dodgers will be affected by it.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know.
I think in the regular season, you have too much to bitch about. That's all.
I wouldn't be shocked, though, if these two teams do meet in the playoffs and it just turns into, like, a war within the media.
That's fair. I'm
like,
cool with
it. Kind of like A.J. Hinch and Aaron Boone kind of had last year with, like, the cheating and pitch tipping and all that stuff.
I mean, I'm very cool with that.
I'm definitely am, too.
I'm down for some more stories, but let's move on to the other bracket. We're not the same here at all. I have the Miami Marlins versus the Cincinnati Reds, and I think between those two, the Reds will take it in about 3 or 4 games. I think it's just a cool story for the Marlins to make it in, find a way to upset the Cubs, who, you know, I've been down on all year, and ever since that hot start, they've been almost non-existent. I mean, come on, they lost 2 games against the Pirates in a 4-game set in the final week of the season. Is that enough reason to say the Marlins will upset them? I don't know. Maybe. But I just think Cincinnati has too much firepower to for the Marlins to keep up with them, and the pitching is beyond better than what Miami has. So give me Cincinnati.
Yeah, I got Cubs and Braves, so my prediction is going to be a lot different than yours. I got the Braves winning this one because – I just think I think if this lineup can get hot and get some confidence against some good pitching that the Rays or the Reds do have, I think they'll just get on a run. And I don't think once they face Chicago's pitching, I don't think their pitching's good enough to get past such a good offense. So I got the Braves, and I got the Braves in 3. I don't think the bullpen for the Cubs can save the starting pitching, or is the starting pitching good enough to just dominate games? So, and a lineup like what the Braves have would thrive on a pitching staff like that. So I got the Braves in 3. We're going to the NLCS against San Diego.
I mean, if that matchup were to happen, I can totally agree with what you're saying there.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, after seeing what the Braves can do, and the one thing with Atlanta, too, that's, like, the most frustrating to be a fan of theirs is they'll be down by 5 runs in the first inning, and then all of a sudden, oh, wait, you know, we're still in this game. Like, it's the most frustrating thing ever. So, like I said, they're never out, so, you know, teams have to be careful that you got to make sure you step on their throat, because if you let them hang around, that's where it becomes a problem. So, So I got San Diego and the Braves in the NLCS.
Well, then who do you have in that NLCS?
I got Padres and Braves.
I mean, like, who do you have? Winning it.
I got the Braves. I think they outslug San Diego. I just think a team that is so deep that has Acuna, Freeman, and Osuna, 1 through 3, that's gonna be your pick. And I think San Diego, eventually you gotta learn a life lesson in the playoffs. The Braves had to learn it a couple years ago. They learned another one last year that you can't just dump yourself in the playoffs and say, here we are, we're gonna win right off the hop. So I think it's going to be a hard lesson for the Padres to learn, but the Braves move on and go to the World Series against the Yankees, as predicted by this show earlier this year.
Hey, I'm cool with that too, because I still have that bet, so I'm about it if that happens. But I'll say, if that's the route the Braves take, getting past the Cincinnati Reds, the Cubs, and the Padres, yeah, I can see the Braves heading to the World Series. So we'll see if that happens that way. The way I have it is I have the Los Angeles Dodgers taking on the Cincinnati Reds, And this is the Cinderella story that ends for Cincinnati in this round. The Dodgers are just way too good this year. Overall, they just have pretty much everyone beat across the board in a general broad sense of how this team is built. They may not lead in every statistical category as a team, but they're one of the top five in almost every single one. Most runs scored, second runs, second in runs allowed. It's hard to not take this team all the way to the World Series. So I have the LA Dodgers representing the National League.
Yeah, I agree with you that, I mean, it's arguably one of the best lineups money can buy, right? So how do you not take the Dodgers? But I just don't buy into the Dodgers fully through the year, all the years of not being able to get it done. It seems like they've always fallen into a roadblock somewhere or whatever. So I just think San Diego is just so far in their head that they wouldn't make it that far anyway. So that's just me.
All right. So we have our World Series matchups, and you mentioned yours earlier. You have the Bronx Bombers against, I can't think of a nickname aside from the Chop Boys, which I'm pretty sure that's not allowed anymore. The Atlanta Braves. So Jeff, you have your World Series matchup you predicted before. I think I know who you're picking, but just I want you to say it.
It's the Atlanta Braves. They faced the Yankees earlier in the year. They were able to take two out of three. I know the Yankees were hurt, but Gerrit Cole did pitch in one of those games, and they tattooed him pretty good. I think he was coming off was he coming off an injury or something like that that. It was like his first start back, but I remember them saying it was like they were able to snap his like 28 straight wins or something like that, or 28 straight starts with a win. I got the Yankees, or not the Yankees, I got the Braves. I think they match up well against the Yankees. So I got Braves. I think it'd be like a 6-game series.
The only problem I can see with a Yankees and Braves World Series, with how everything's played out right now, is I think the Yankees would be able to out-hit the pitching of the Braves more likely than the Braves would out-hit the pitching of the Yankees.
Yeah, there's a lot of strikeouts, though, in that Yankee lineup with Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton when they're healthy. So, if they make it that far at being healthy, I definitely know what you mean, but there's also a lot of strikeouts in that lineup too. So I like the 3-4 guys for Atlanta being able to be more consistent, and there is power there, but those guys aren't afraid to hit for average either.
So looking on my side, I have the LA Dodgers taking on the Cleveland Indians. Jeff, I really like this matchup overall. You would have to give the pitching to the Indians in this series. Overall with the lineup, you got to give it to the LA Dodgers. You have guys who have been able to win recently with a different team, like Mookie Betts on the LA Dodgers. I think this series has the potential to go to 7 games because of, I just mentioned, mainly the pitching, I think, would be able to hold Cleveland in this series. But I'll just say Dodgers in 7. I think they finally get the monkey off their back with all the money that's been spent on this team and some of the homegrown talent. There is some on this team. They didn't buy the entire team. Cody Bellinger's a product. Gavin Lux, Will Smith, like Dustin May. They were able to make a trade for Brewster Graterol, however you say his last name. Dude is nasty on the mound for the Dodgers. I just think overall, this would be one of the most exciting series to watch, and I think you got to give it to the Dodgers in 7 between those two.
So you think LA finally gets their World Series after
crazier countless things have happened in 2020, Jeff?
That is true. That is true. And if there's ever a year to do it, this is the year, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, this would be the time in a shortened season, or pretty much your guys are in mid-season form, and now's the time to attack.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just don't trust the Dodgers. They seem to always fall short. You know, I think they've been on cruise control for too long, so that's why I'm a little skeptic on taking them any further than the second round.
Hey, we all have our picks. That's why we're different, and when we do all this stuff. So I'm okay with you thinking that way, but you're wrong. All right. Anything else about the MLB season you would like to maybe say before we wrap up the show?
Yeah, if Freddie Freeman doesn't get the MVP of the league, then I will be going to New York or wherever those offices are, and I will riot. I will riot single-handedly if Freddie Freeman does not get the MVP.
I will make sure I bring my phone to record all of that.
Yeah, there will be picket signs and torches and all kinds of good stuff, too. So,
get your torches here. Get your tiki torches.
What do you think? You got anything
we
else?
We already agreed on this. We already agreed on this last week. Freddie Freeman should win the NL MVP.
But they'll give it to, like, Cody Bellinger or someone stupid because he plays in L.A.
Now, if anything, they'll give it to Juan Soto so I can hit my bet.
Yeah, F Juan Soto. By the way, too, real quick, how come the Braves never get any, like, love from the national media? I mean, this is becoming a trend, right?
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, 3 years in a row after winning the division the year before, they've been said that they were either going to come in third or second in the division and not make the playoffs. They've scrapped that by just saying, you know, screw it, we're just going to win the division. And then that stupid list that I sent to the Twitter that they weren't one of the top 10 lineups in baseball. Like, what the hell are these people at Major League Baseball doing?
Making you angry?
Yeah, they're making me angry. Give us some respect.
Respect. Yeah, I mean, I can't explain it. I mean, there's guys like Juan Soto who kind of took over last year for the Nationals when Bryce Harper left for Philly and is a young phenom at that young age, like Acuna Jr., who, I mean, Acuna Jr. is getting the love, maybe not as much love, but the love that he deserves when he does anything big. And Fernando Tatis Jr. being a name in San Diego with everyone else. I don't know how the names just float around. It seems as if when there's a name like Trout or Harper already up there, it's hard to compete with those. So when you have a Harper in Philly, you're getting less attention in Atlanta. I think it's good for your team that they get less attention. They're just working away and grinding away and showing that, hey, we win. We don't need the attention. So why don't you just put that feather in your cap and say, hey, you know what? Stay away from us.
Well, they're pissing me off because, yeah, that hurts a lot for awards and stuff like that. And, you know, partial of the reason why, like, Freddie Freeman hasn't gotten an MVP yet for how important he is to the Braves organization. I mean, I don't know. I just think that Major League Baseball gets too caught up in the New York, L.A., Boston, Chicago. You forget the other teams that are around. I mean, even Minnesota, too. I mean, I feel like they don't even get nearly as much love as what they should really get.
Yeah, you're right on there.
Damn right I am.
I'm assuming your LVP, then, is just Major League Baseball.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
All right, cool. I'm going to give it to two separate people. These are two players that just retired. So happy trails to Alex Gordon and Hunter Pence, both World Series champions. Never really been the biggest fan of Hunter Pence, ever. I just think he's one of the most goofiest-looking ball players out there that it was just a personal game for him to just see how wacky he could look out on a baseball field and still hit like 300 some years. It was just mind blowing what he did. Alex Gordon was one of my, I would say, under the radar, like, favorite players because he was in Kansas City. No one really cared about him. any game that I would, any Major League Baseball game I would play, I'd always like to have him on the team, just because of his speed and what he could do on the field. I think he was a 7-time Gold Glove Award winner for Kansas City. So, and a World Series champ out there. So those are going to be the double MVP, because I guess I didn't give one last week. So I'm making up for it.
Just to go on your point about Alex Gordon being like one of your favorite like MLB video game players, mine was Grady Sizemore for the Cleveland Indians.
Okay.
That was
because he could stay healthy in that game.
Right. Yeah. He turned injuries off. He was Babe Ruth pretty much. Could hit for power and, you know, he could be your leadoff guy too. So, but yeah, I totally know what you mean by like having like a guy on MLB that you always kind of like obscurely went out of your way to get. To get on your team.
Yeah, and it wasn't going to be like a top pick. You knew when to pick them. It was just a matter. You might do it a little early, like 8th round, 9th round, whatever you're going for. But Scott Pesednik was another one I liked as well.
Not bad.
And so I think that's our show. I think
that's our show.
Yeah, this has been Icy Takes. I mean, playoff time, baby. Here we go.
MLB so, hey, bro. Real quick, before we wrap everything up, sorry, I had one more thing. So the Braves play at 12 on Wednesday, right? Is it bad on my part if I have the game on my phone while I'm at work?
No.
If I'm sitting at my desk?
No.
Okay, because that's probably going to be the plan. Heads up to my boss. I don't even know if he listens to the show or not. Yeah, the game's going to be on. Like, I'll still do my work, and I'll still do what I got to get done, but I'm going to have the game on. I'm going to be very irrational about what happens during that game, too. So, just a heads up to him.
Yeah, that's fine. This has been Icy Takes with Jeff and Big Dave. Zach had to take off this week. So, you can like us on Facebook at Icy Takes with Zach, Jeff, and Big Dave. Follow us on Twitter at Icy Takes, all together one word, I-C-E-Y Takes, because that's the way we like to spell it. Follow us on the personal Twitters at Big_Dave52 and at ZachMorris82.
And at JChris_51.
Like our Lord and Savior, amen. Hopefully we didn't go off the rails too much. If we did, we hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you next week. So until then, take care and stay icy. Bye-bye.
Go Braves, guys.